And some of you will notice that your ray tracers give you fame. A lot of times I'll go on Twitter and I'll mention student work and it'll get retweeted. Sometimes it goes viral. We definitely had a project last semester where it got retweeted like, I don't know how many times, 20, 30, 50, it was a lot. So some of your ray tracers have gotten some attention, which is great. And I think if the path tracers will even get more attention because that's more, a little more novel. So the project is still due this Friday. So if you haven't got started, please jump on it right away. And I think some of the performance stuff we'll talk about today will be really useful for you guys getting not just your path tracer rendering, but it rendering efficiently. The other thing is we have class on Halloween night, which is a Wednesday night at the end of this month. So I was going to move it to the Tuesday, the day before, and we could use the conference room in the SIG lab underneath us. Does anyone have any problems with doing that? That way you get your Halloween.
The same thing.
Right. Does anyone have a course then? Okay, so I'll poll you guys again on Wednesday just so everyone gets a fair say, but I'd like to move it so this way you have your Halloween night to do whatever you're going to do with it. So today Carl's going to come up in a little bit to finish his talks on path tracing, really about the KD tree to do efficient ray intersection tests. But I want to go over atomics, which were on the slide, the CUDA introduction slides. So I know you probably don't have those slides with you, but they are numbered up here. So if you want to take any notes, it's a really small section, but the atomics may or will most likely be useful when you do your rasterization implementation. And in general, I think it's good to know about the atomics and also the implementation for atomics. But then I'm going to spend the bulk of this lecture on several CUDA performance techniques. And these are going to be knowledge of the GPU architecture will help us improve our performance, not just knowledge of algorithms and getting good algorithms, but it's taking it to the next step, understanding the hardware to help us get good performance. So again, I apologize that you probably don't have the atomic slides with you, but let's just go over a little bit about atomics. So just in the general question, say we had these two lines of code. Here we have an unsigned in that's in global memory, and say we had 8 threads execute plus count. What do you think the value of count is if it's initially 0 after the 8 threads execute this? Come again? Could be anything is a bit extreme. Okay,
tell
anything less than 8. Okay, could it be 0? But we agree that it could be 1. Like say all these 8 threads, they're in a half warp, and that half warp executes at the same time, so they could all be 1. It could be 8. Maybe all the threads are in different blocks. They could be in different blocks on different SMs, and it could be 8. But the point is that plus count, right, that's not an atomic. It's not a self-contained operation. That is most likely a read, modify, write. And those could get interleaved with other read, modify, writes to the same address, that count variable. And therefore, you don't necessarily know. This is, you have no idea what this value is going to be. So we want to use atomic functions such that we can say, hey, we're going to, for example, increment this value all in one sweep. Read, modify, write atomically. Now, these will guarantee that you won't have interference from other threads. So read, modify, write happens without anyone interrupting you, but we're not going to guarantee anything about the order. Okay, so just because you called the atomic increment doesn't mean that it's going to get called before or after someone else called it. And these can be used in both shared or global memory. I want to say that I see them more often used with global memory, but certainly you can use them with shared memory. And the atomics do not run on the base CUDA hardware, the G80, so they don't run like on a GeForce AD800, but they are on the GeForce 9, I believe pretty much all of the 9 series as well, which are still very old cards. So it's as simple as this. Now we just, instead of doing plus count, we just pass the address of count to this atomic add function. And here we're saying add 1 to it. We say add 2, 3, or 4. So it's not quite as clean, right, because the plus operator is not overloaded, but at least it's very explicit that we're doing an atomic write. So here now, if you have 8 threads execute this, the value of count at the end will be 8 because the read, modify, write is atomically executed. Okay, so what I really want to talk a little bit about is how atomic add is executed, because you may have to, CUDA provides atomic operations for a lot of things, but not for everything. And I think it depends on, like, I think it provides everything for floats, but maybe not int, or excuse me, for ints, but maybe not floats. But also just the general technique that I want to show here. I'll be curious to know how many people have already seen it. I think in terms of parallel programming, certainly on the CPU, is very widely used, and I want you guys to at least have seen it. Okay, so before I go into it, any ideas for how would I implement this atomic add right here? Even like high level ideas. You guys have seen threads in general before this course, right? So how would you implement it? Lock. So you would lock, and maybe the locking is up to you. You could have one global lock, so anyone who tries to do an atomic add locks, or you could have really fine-grained locks where you could lock in a particular address. So this is not real code. I'm in PowerPoint, and I get away with anything I want in PowerPoint, so I made up this __ lock function. And here I'm saying I'm going to lock on this particular address, and then I just dereference an increment. So that's one way to, you know, that's one conceptual way to implement an atomic add. Okay, so what if I said I want to do this without an explicit lock? What techniques have you heard of that you could use? Okay. What if I gave you an atomic compare and swap? How many people have heard of the term compare and swap? Okay, good. So this will be good for you. So this function here, atomic compare and swap, it takes a pointer to an int. It could be a pointer to anything, but in our use case, we're just using an int. And then it takes a compare value, and it takes at the end an increment value. A value set. So pretty much what this says is it will go, okay, if the value at address equals the compare value, change it to the value I passed in the third argument. If not, don't change it. And then always return the original value at the address. So it's compare and swap is kind of a weird term because you're not really like swapping with anything, but you are returning whatever value was at address, and then you are changing that value if it equaled your compare value. Let's do an example and make it really clear. Oh, sorry. So here's some pseudocode again. I made up the lock, __ lock. Where here the most important line is, let's see, do I have these highlighted? Is right here, where I'm saying, okay, if the value at the address is my compare value, then I'm going to assign it to the new value. Otherwise, don't change it and return the value that we overwrote. Okay, so here I have a pointer, and originally the value that it points to is 1. And then I call it. Okay, I'll tell you guys the answer to this one now because I already showed it. I call it and I say my compare value is 1. So if it's 1, if the dereference of address is 1, then I'm going to assign it to 2. And in this case, we know it is 1. So we assign it to 2, but we still return 1. We return the previous value. Okay, now this next call, where the compare value is 1, what is that going to return, and what is going to be the new value at the address? So do you guys think it's going to change the value? So the compare value here is still 1, the second argument, but we know that now the value at the address is 2. So it's not going to change it, but it's still going to return the dereferenced pointer, which is 2. Right, so it returns 2, and the value that we stored there is 2. We didn't touch it. But now, on the final call, the compare value is 2. So what's it going to do? It's going to assign 3 to where it points to, but it's still going to return 2 because that was the previous value. So atomic compare and swap. Change the value if it was what we expected it to, return the old one. Atomic compare and swap. Okay, now if I gave you the atomic compare and swap function, how would you implement the atomic add? Even conceptually, you don't need to like write out the code. What if you used a loop and the atomic compare and swap? Any ideas? Well, let me show you and see what you guys think. So this code can be a little much, but if we just jump down to the main part here,